Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Thomas, newest member of the Girl Dad Club. Congratulations, Brad. I know that's why your hair is a little messier today than usual, given everything that you are dealing with there, but congratulations. And today we're going to talk some golf, and then we're going to talk about the Champions League, the Man City-Copenhagen matchup, Real Madrid-Leipzig, and then talk about some outright markets. But Brad, let's start off with the Arnold Palmer Invitational at the Bay Hill Club in Florida. In terms of the course, in terms of the potential weather, it's going to be rainy and windy at Bay Hill. What are you looking for in this tournament?
Yeah, so first off, I love this golf course. It's in my backyard, basically, about 10 minutes away. So this tournament's fun. I think what a lot of people fail to realize is when you start handicapping this tournament, we're in Orlando, Florida. The weather forecast 4 days from now, 3 days from now, 2 days from now, as you go closer to the tournament, it changes, right? I think I pulled the forecast about 2 days ago, and it said 20% chance of rain, wind gusts only on the weekend, and it's gradually getting different. Even right now, as I look out my window, there's overcast. I talked to another guy who's at the course right now. He said there's overcast at the course. From a course perspective, this is one of the more difficult golf courses on tour, right? Why? Because the rough is really penal. I'll make sure I post a video on X tomorrow, dropping a golf ball in the rough just so everyone can see how thick it is. However, the fairways are far more wide than the tour average. Greens are big, but they're firm and fast. However, if it rains today, it quite hasn't yet, but if it rains today or rains tomorrow, I don't know if it's going to get as firm and fast as everybody wants, but it's still going to play a little difficult because of how the course sets up with strategic shot placing, where the hazards and the bunkers are placed to kind of eliminate overpowering this course.
Yeah, I think, you know, to your point, when you look at data golf and course fit and what has been important at this course previously, one, driving distance off the tee is the one that's most paramount, and then also accuracy off the tee, given to your point, if you are missing fairways, you're in the rough and it's difficult to get out of it. I do think that just with the conditions, with the fact it's a difficult course, like the over-under for winning score is 277.5. So the market is saying that, you know, 11 under should win the tournament. I think what all of that adds up to is that there's just more potential for chaos that bad conditions create. I think bad conditions are generally, you know, across most sports, are an equalizer, where it just throws up the more opportunity for, you know, potentially someone to come from the clouds. Kurt Kitayama obviously won this tournament last year, and he's 200-1 going into it. So it's a pretty loaded field this time, but potential for, I guess, the trend in golf this year to continue, which is just the 200-1 shots win every week for fun. But who do you like in the outright market?
Yeah, so you touched on it. Well, we've had eight plus 100 or more long shots. Like, it's kind of exhausting as a golf bettor because you want to bet on these guys who are the cream of the crop and they're not coming through. But then if we think about it, we talk about these golfers that have gone to live. those were really the closers. And no offense, disrespect to any of the guys who are out on tour, like Cantlay or Xander Schauffele. But when you have a guy like John Rahm, when you have a guy like Brooks Koepka, you have a guy like Cam Smith, multiple wins under their belt, major champions, you take those away. Now you open up the room for these long shots. So I try not to go super heavy in the long shots. It's just such a difficult course. But I did pick a golfer here that you'll hear this time and time again when you hear about this golf course. This is the most predictive golf course on tour, which basically means the same things that win every year are going to be the exact same strokes gain metrics that you're going to want to see. So basically, if you have a good course history here, you're going to keep playing well here. If you stink at this course, you're not just going to flip that switch. And so my golfer that I like, he's probably my favorite bet, Matthew Fitzpatrick. And it's kind of funny because I highlighted Matthew Fitzpatrick last week, but little did I know that the Cosinet Classic was going to be such a birdie fest, right? Matthew Fitzpatrick is a tough course specialist, U.S. Open winner. He thrives at really difficult courses. And why I highlighted him last year, outside of it being difficult, even though his putting all season has been terrible, he's familiar with the Bermuda greens. He's familiar with playing golf since a young age, training down in Florida. So what was going to happen? His putting was going to spike. Boom. He plays in the Cognizant Classic. His putting spikes. And now he's bringing everything that makes him great at tough courses, good ball striking, accurate shots, long iron success, bringing it to Bay Hill where he's seen success. Outside of last year, he's had four straight top 10 finishes, a runner-up a few years ago as well. And I say outside of last year, like he missed the cut or something, he was T14. So Matt Fitzpatrick is a guy who really jumps off the page for me. And at his price, like it's funny to say this, what I'm about to say, but at his price, he has a ton of win equity compared to the guys around him.
Yep. No, I like that. And tell me about my man, Ludvig Åberg, who I love, decided at some point in the recent past that he wasn't going to be called Ludvig Åberg anymore, as he'd been called for much of his career, but he was going to make the transition to his native tongue pronunciation of Åberg, shades of Devin Achain just becoming Achain. Yeah. But what do you make of Åberg's chances?
Yeah, I'm on Åberg as well, and you say the transition to his name. I listened to him pronounce his name like six times in a row and still struggled. Someone had to spell it out phonetically for me. I'm betting him with confidence, and it took me a while to get to him, but once I pulled his stat profile and did a deeper dive, I was all in. So we already know he's a phenomenal ball striker, extreme accuracy off the tee. What was scary to me and why I didn't get to him initially is because of the eye test, right? When you see golfers on television, they have the media, whatever, who's producing the show has to tell a story. So what you see of Åberg, you see missed putt, missed putt, missed putt. And you just think, this guy is just hemorrhaging strokes on the putting surface. But no, it's not as bad as you think. He's actually putting pretty well this season comparative to what they're showing on television. And then, oh, let's remember his last time playing this golf course, he was absolutely phenomenal, winning upwards of four strokes on the putting green. So you have a guy who is already an elite ball striker, one of the most accurate guys off the tee, who has win equity, going to say that phrase a lot whenever we talk about golf tournaments this season, who's putting well. This is a golf course, especially if the greens are going to be rolling really fast. You need guys who are confident with the putter. At his price, I like it a lot. Don't be surprised if he's chasing for a Sunday lead.
Okay. Well, last guy before we move on to Phil Foden and friends. keen for your thoughts, Brad, on Jake Knapp, who won in Mexico a couple of weeks ago. Is kind of, I mean, he's a new guy on the tour relatively, even though he's almost 30. And, I mean, he's come on and his past four starts, where he's fourth at the Cognizant, he wins in Mexico, he's T28 in Phoenix, and then he was third at the Farmers. So, I mean, the guy is playing like, you know, a top 5-10 golfer in the sport. Don't expect that that is necessarily his level, but he does have a game that I think has some tendencies that, you know, could suit this course, where he has massive distance off the tee. His driving accuracy isn't great, but it was last week, so he's coming in with some form there. And then his putting has been excellent all of this season, basically. Well, this year it's just ticked over to 2024. So what do you make of Jake Knapp's chances?
Yeah, Jay, I was actually pretty fortunate to be on Jake Knapp and the Mexican Open at 40-1, a four golfer card. So I was actively looking for a way to fade him last week. You touched on it. Driving accuracy is not the greatest, but I think he gets more relief as he comes to API. And why I say that is the fairways are just a little bit wider. We know they widened them last week, but they are just a little bit wider. And if he's hitting the ball this long, he's hitting the ball this well, and he's this great with his long irons, which proximity 200 yards out is going to be very important this week. You have to bet on him. He's a guy who's just standing on his head on approach. If you see some of these shots that he hit last week, then we know he didn't win. He was, you know, maybe a couple of misplaced shots from really being in contention come towards the end of the tournament. But if you look at some of those shots where he was putting it within 3 to 4 feet, he was like 206 to 215 yards out. That's going to be a big factor in success this week at this tournament. And Jake Knapp at what, 60, 70 to one? I see him at one point, he was at 90 to one. There's no excuse not to bet on that guy. Like, when we are confidently betting on, no offense, non-winners at like 25 to one, why not take a guy who's scorching hot with the wind under his belt and he just has a great skill set for this course?
Yeah, I think as well, just in principle, when you're talking about backing long shots at those prices, like, you want variance, you want upside. And I mean, Jake Knapp, like, we just don't really know that much about him. Maybe he's just, you know, Robert Redford in the natural. Like, he just comes from nowhere. Maybe he's just awesome. He's certainly shown that his past four starts. All right, Brad, spring training is here. So for those looking to get ahead in the upcoming MLB season, grab your RotoWorld Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit nbcsports.com/draftguide and use code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off at checkout.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
All right, UEFA Champions League. We are recording late-ish on Tuesday afternoon. Bayern are about to beat Lazio. They're up 3-0. They will go through. And PSG, who I've watched a strange amount of this season in Ligue 1 because I have some random Ligue 1 futures bets that I'm riding. And they are very unimpressive domestically, but in Europe, they've been fine. And they look like, well, they are going to go through. They're up 4-0 on aggregate against a really disappointing Real Sociedad team. So those two ties seem set. The Wednesday matches are Man City, -650 favorites against FC Copenhagen, who are 16-1. The draw is the 8-1 region. City won the first leg 3-1. Their odds to qualify are, you cannot bet them because they are so short. Some places are offering -10,000, I believe, on City to go through, and then 50-1. The other side on Copenhagen, is there any chance that City take their foot off the gas in this one and this match gets interesting, or does this seem like a kind of regulation, you know, another 3-1 type of win for City?
I actually think they take their foot off the gas, but I don't think it allows Copenhagen to get back in this match. Pep Guardiola is master tactician, being up in the second leg, especially a second home leg of the Champions League. I think that if you're looking at the total at 3.5, you'd probably want to bet the under there. Go back and take a look at Manchester City whenever they have a lead on aggregate in the second leg. They suck the life out of the game and play the slowest pace ever. Draw at halftime, something like that. Or maybe if you really want to sprinkle 0-0 or, excuse me, 0-0 or sprinkle 1-0. Like, those kind of bets are where you're going to find value. But outside of that, there's nothing really on this game that I would, you know, consider betting. It's just, City's just so much better in possession midfield defensively to where if Copenhagen get on the board, it'd be a lapse in technique and quality.
Yep. No, I'm with you there. This seems like, yeah, the epitome of a foregone conclusion. I do think that, you know, with the Champions League, when teams are in this type of position, you don't typically see violent upsets. It's kind of like a round one of the NBA playoffs. Like, the Celtics just never lose to Atlanta in round one. Though, to be fair, the Heat did beat the Bucks. The only time I can remember something like completely bizarre happening was, and this is like 20 years ago, when and I don't know if you remember this, Brad, but when Deportivo La Coruña, when they came from like 4-1 down to beat AC Milan in like the quarterfinals of the Champions League, and somehow got through that. But outside of that, I don't think Copenhagen, even with, and also it's not like you can ride shooting luck in a matchup like this. Like, it just seems like they're going to be overpowered. I think the more interesting matchup is Real Madrid against Leipzig, who have been a little underwhelming in the Bundesliga this season. Real Madrid are minus 185 on the three-way money line. Leipzig plus 450. The draw is plus 350. Madrid won the first leg a few weeks ago, 1-0, and they are minus 1,000 to qualify. Leipzig plus 550. Madrid have been stumbling a little bit. They kind of got screwed out of a victory on the weekend against Valencia in the league. Before that, they eked out a 1-0 win over Sevilla, who are not very good this year. And then before that, they drew 1-1 with Rayo. So they're not in the best form. And all year, I've kind of been waiting for just the wheels to fall off for Madrid, just because they've had so many injuries. Like, David Alaba did his knee, Thibaut Courtois, Eder Militao, all of these guys have done their knees. And Jude Bellingham's being banged up, and he got red carded. He got carded at the end against Valencia. So what are you expecting from Madrid? Do you think that ultimately they will go through?
Yeah, there's no manager that I trust more than Carlo here. He is the Champions League legend. He will get Madrid through. And how I think they're going to win is going to be suffocating pressure, being smart on the ball, and then using Vinny anytime Leipzig try to open up. Vinny is I think he hasn't had the season that he wanted, but he's also playing good enough. With Jude being a little bit more healthy, he's not 100%, but he should be fit for this match. It gives Vinny that service on the break that they desperately need. Now, would I be willing to lay minus 185? Nah, Jay, I don't think so. And would I be willing to take over 3.5 goals? Nah, not at all. I think it might be a Real Madrid 1-0 match. Maybe if Leipzig get on the score sheet, Madrid tie it up later in the match. And then Carlo just tells his guys, relax, chill, save your because we have a La Liga title that we have to chase. So I don't think we see fireworks in this game, but don't be surprised if Leipzig come out firing. They have the pace. They have the quality on the pitch to at least try. And sometimes when you have teams that really put up a big, gallant effort, we see a lot of goals and some fireworks, but not against Ancelotti. I just think he's just that good of a manager tactically.
Yeah, I mean, his record is kind of indisputable in the Champions League at this point. I still don't know how they won a couple of years ago. Just baffled by that, how they were able to get through with that team with some of the positions that they were in, down to Chelsea, down to City, but they did it. I think the problem is Leipzig just aren't very good this year. Yeah. Where right now they're fifth in the Bundesliga, like they're well behind like Stuttgart, who Leipzig were heavy favorites to finish above Stuttgart. They're behind Dortmund as well, who are having a really rough season. And this Leipzig team was in the mix kind of to win the title last year in Germany. They've just fallen off the pace. You know, teams like Leverkusen obviously have gone well past them, so don't really see the upside for them pulling an upset. I do think that Madrid are going to be vulnerable at some point, but certainly doesn't seem like it's going to be on Wednesday. All right, Brad, let the madness begin. We are in conference tournament season, and Peacock is your exclusive home for Big Ten hoops. Today, you can start streaming the TIAA Big Ten Women's Tournament, and on Wednesday the 13th, it's the men's turn to get the action started.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Okay, Champions League outright market. As we speak currently, Man City are, as you'd expect, the clear favorite at plus 160 to win it all. Madrid plus 450, they're second favorite. Arsenal are plus 650, and they have a bit of work to do to even to get through to the next round. And then Bayern, their price will shorten, but heading into the Lazio matchup, they were plus 750. And then Inter, who I think are being a little bit disrespected, being the fifth favorite, they're plus 950. And then you get into PSG, Barcelona, and Dortmund. Anyone you like in this market at price, Brad?
Yeah, it's going to be Inter Milan at +950. I got a little nibble on them at 20-1 and 18-1. They probably have the most disrespected odds. My only fear is that they kind of run into a Napoli situation. It feels like they're invincible in Serie A, which happened in Napoli, and then they took their foot off the gas and they just absolutely plundered in the Champions League. But the difference between those two teams is I didn't think Napoli was all that great playing without the ball. Inter doesn't mind playing without the ball, and they have extreme quality in the midfield. That's what you need when you're going against teams like Manchester City, who are going to suck the life out of the game, Arsenal, who are going to suck the life out of the game. You need your midfield to be able to break down the team and pass quality through balls to your striker, to any of your other players to try to score in transition. I couldn't confidently bet Manchester City, not at that price. Arsenal, yeah, they're on fire right now, but outside of that Liverpool win, I'm not just super stoked about who they've been playing. They've scored 3+ goals in almost every single match in 2024, but that won't be sustained. They're not playing Sheffield United for the rest of the Champions League run.
Yeah, I think your point is taken about Arsenal. They've been a little bit vulnerable in Europe. Certainly wasn't an impressive performance against Porto at all in the first leg, though they're still favourites to get through. I think I take your point on Inter. I think that the best sign for Inter of anything is, and when you're talking about to actually win the whole tournament, is that they played Man City in the final last year and they really should have won that game. Or at least it was a coin flip. I think they probably outplayed Man City on the balance of play and really should have scored. And I think this team is probably better than the iteration last year, where, I mean, last year they weren't even vaguely in the mix for the title domestically. They had an expected goal difference per 90 of +0.83 last year. That's +1.37 this season. So they're significantly better domestically. I think just in terms of personnel, they're looking in a better spot as well. The whole issue with this market is that City are just so much better than everyone else. And we don't know what the draw is going to be in the quarters or the semis at this point. And so if you're betting on a team, if you're betting on anyone who isn't Man City, you're just hoping to avoid this Pep landmine if you just land on the wrong side of the draw. So I would almost prefer, if I'm not backing City, to just see what the draw is like and perhaps eat some potential value with, you know, the knowledge of what is actually going to happen, and then hope that, you know, the odds makers don't correctly account for path, which, you know, often they do not. So that's kind of my read on the win, the outright market. In terms of the reach, the final market, which it's always interesting to think of these two markets in conjunction when you're projecting out what is the better bet to reach the final or to win outright. And then you're basically taking what you're expecting the average price of the team to be in the final. So Man City are -155 to reach the final, which is kind of insane given they haven't even technically gotten out of the round of 16 yet. Real Madrid +175, Arsenal +300, Munich +350, and Inter a +400. Does anyone tickle your fancy in this market, Brad?
Yeah, the only bet that I could make would be Manchester City. You touched on, you know, avoiding them in your draw on your side of the bracket. And why that's important is, do you know if there's a team who can beat Manchester City over two legs? Now, that's the difference between a championship final where it's just one leg. I don't know if there's any team here who can beat Manchester City over two legs. It's just because of how much explosiveness they have with their attack. They are a little thin in terms of quality on the bench compared to, you know, last year's team even. But if they stay healthy and you see this team in a quarter or semifinal, you have to beat them over two legs. Now, this is the same Manchester City team who's probably going to roll with 60-65% possession, going to limit you to maybe two shots on target, going to rack up 18 shots per game. So that's a lot of firepower coming your way that you're going to have to withstand two times.
Yeah, no, I think that is the big thing in pricing these type of outrights where, you know, if you get into just a one leg final in a neutral venue, you can have what happened to City a couple of years ago where they lost to Chelsea basically because of, you know, Kevin De Bruyne gets hurt. They have one bad moment where Kai Havertz gets in behind. Then all of a sudden, the better team just loses this one individual match. But to your point, there is less variance over two legs, over 180 minutes and potentially extra time than there is in the one-off. So that, you know, that lends itself to City's advantage because they're the best team and the best team wants as little variance as possible. So I think the way that you have to price out this market, if you believe in City and if you believe that they're the best team and they're going to win the Champions League, it's pretty simple. If you're taking plus 160 and to win it all and minus 155 to reach the final, it's basically, do you think that City's odds in the final on average are going to be better or worse than about minus 170? And what I would say there is that in terms of to lift the cup, like against Inter, I think they were like minus 400 to lift the cup, even though it was a one-off. Now, that Inter team wasn't as good as this Inter team. That Inter team didn't have, you know, the pedigree of this year's, you know, if City play Real Madrid or Arsenal or Bayern Munich or Inter, they're not going to be minus 400 this time around. But I'm not sure they're going to be much, there might not be a ton of meat at the moment, minus 170. So the way that I would approach this market, you can shop around for prices. I think you can still find some minus 125 on City to reach the final. If you can get that type of price, then I think you're probably better off than playing the variance game of the one game final where anything can happen. But what's your preference between the reach the final market or to win outright?
Yeah, it's absolutely the reach the final market. I just, the outright price I played on City last year was plus 350. And I played it earlier and when I got to the championship final, I didn't have much confidence in the ticket. But I was able to hedge a little bit because I put enough money where I was making profit either way. When you're talking about a plus 160 with 16 teams in the mix, we're going to be moving down to eight, that's still not very good value when it comes to trying to guarantee money at the end. Now, as a City team who feels like they've been in the final just year in and year out recently, why don't you just cash your ticket early? And then you watch the final and you can do whatever you want with it, especially if you might find a shorter price this year on City. Like maybe they play an Arsenal, maybe they play a Real Madrid, and you might see a price that's somewhere with them minus 175. Then sure, if you want to dive back in, go ahead and spend your profits on that. But I like securing the profits because we know that this City team over two legs is going to be difficult for anybody to beat.
Yeah, I think as well with just this specific version of City or this particular team is that the Pep just does weird stuff in kind of one-off occasions. Like he does this bizarre strategy against Lyon in the COVID Champions League year where they some inexplicably lost that. Don't know what he was doing against Chelsea in the Champions League final. He left Rodri out of the team and played Gundogan as central defensive midfield. Like he just kind of does strange stuff where I'm not sure if he's overthinking things. He is, I'd say by consensus, the best coach of his generation, his era. I'm not going to tell him that I know more about soccer than Pep Guardiola, but certainly it does seem like in these one-off occasions that, you know, you're just prone to more weird stuff happening. They had a vastly superior team to Inter last year in the final, and they did not play that way. That was not reflected in the gameplay of that one. So I agree that if you can get something that is, you know, neutral value of the reach the final relative to the win the title price, I would lean towards reach the final just because you're not exposed to as much variance. All right, we are done. Don't forget to check out NBCSports.com for more information to help you with your wagers. Thanks to those watching on the NBC Sports YouTube channel. If you're listening to us in podcast form, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Also, a reminder to find all your favorite NBC Sports shows on Amazon Music. Just head to amazon.com/NBC Sports. You can follow Brad on Twitter at Mr. Brad Thomas. I am at Croucher JD. Thanks again, Brad. Hope you get some sleep, mate. I've had four and a half month old daughters three times, so I know exactly what you are going through, mate. So good luck with that, and we will be back tomorrow.
Take care.
Thank you.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.